I want to talk to you about gearing up for spiritual warfare. I'm not going to talk to you about something that's new. You've heard this before, but you need to hear it again. And sometimes we need to be reminded about spiritual warfare. It is real. It is powerful. And it's stronger than we are. But in the strength of Christ, it's not strong. And I'll never forget when that real witch came and saw me when I was pastoring a church. And she sat down across from me and she said, "I come to let you know I'm a real bona fide witch." And she had a say that she took care of. There was a warlock and several things. And we talked, and pretty soon she said, "Well, you're not afraid of me." I said, "Why should I be? Greater is he that's in me than it's in you. You've already lost. You're worshiping the wrong dude and following the wrong dude. He's headed to hell in eternity. I'm headed to heaven in eternity. And if you don't get with Christ, that's where you're going to spend time with him, in hell." She said, "What if I come to your church?" I said, "Come on." I didn't tell anybody she came. Didn't tell anybody she was there. 3 Sundays in a row she came. I was preaching out of Romans chapter 3. She got the gospel for 3 Sundays in a row. Never came back. Never heard from her again. But if she goes to hell, it's not because she didn't know the gospel. Warfare is real. And we had a great revival. I mean, it was fantastic. I heard all kinds of positive things. But immediately, we had spiritual warfare. Immediately, it impacted the church. Now, a lot of folks may say, that just was life. No, it wasn't just life. We had some activity take place that tried to shut down what God was wanting to start. And we as a people have the opportunity to follow with Christ, to take our stand. And turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and you know, in Revelation, Ephesus had some problems. They were strong and powerful and had good doctrine, but they just lost the love of Christ totally in their hearts. Here he writes, beginning in verse 10, and he says, "Finally," he's finished doctrine and practical stuff, and now he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Not in your own strength, but in God's strength. "Put on," that's a command, "put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand." Don't run, don't crawl away. Stand, not be on your knees, stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles is the word in Greek is from which we get our word schematic. Schemes. Devil has some schemes. And he applies those schemes to every culture. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Father, bless this word. Speak to our hearts. Teach us and encourage us. Empower us. In Jesus' name, amen. And by the way, this will be more than one sermon here. With next week being Lord's Supper, we're probably going to have 3. But this is part 1, but then you'll have part 2, then you'll have part 3. We have an enemy. And that enemy is the enemy of God. And the reason he's our enemy is because we for God. We worship God. We love God. We serve Christ. We sing praises to him. We love him. There's words of prayer and thanksgiving, and we give to missions, and we do everything for God in honor of him. And since he's the enemy of God, he's our enemy. They don't like us. Now, he don't probably hate us as much as he hates God. He hates the God that indwells us immensely. Far more than you and I can ever think, he hates him. He has hated him forever. Now, when God created Adam and Eve, he created them to worship him. They were to worship God, period. God even had communion with them, one-on-one, walking with them in the garden in the evening. They saw God face to face. They heard God talk and interact with them. And then the enemy of God come along and entice them to worship self and to worship him. And that's been man's problem from that point on when they yielded to the temptation. We self-centered. We like to take care of self first. We love that. I mean, look at us. Just look. There's not a skinny person in here. When I'm talking skinny, I'm talking flesh and bones. Okay? We don't do without food so others can eat around the world. We take care of self. Right? We watch out for number one. You know, McDonald's used to have that commercial for the working woman. You deserve a break today. Go to McDonald's tonight. Feed your family them fat hamburgers. They don't taste like hamburger. I don't think anybody working at McDonald's in the administration part has ever had real beef. But that's another story. We have an enemy, and he's real. He's as real as you sitting in the seat. He's as real as a person sitting beside you. He's real. Now, we don't see him, usually. But we see what he does and how he interacts in people. A time or two, Jesus made this statement, "Why has Satan filled your heart?" Remember Peter saying to Ananias and Sapphira, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" They dropped dead immediately. He can do it. He can fill your heart to lie and be disobedient to God. He cannot possess you, but he sure can lead you. He can put a hook in you like hooking a fish, and you can't get away. Now, he began wanting to be like God and be God. In Isaiah chapter 14, there is that passage of scripture that says, verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet shalt thou be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Lucifer, one of Satan's names. He's called Lucifer. He's called the devil. He's called Satan. Liberal scholars will tell you, no, that's not about Satan. They don't know Scripture anyway. But it is. It's about Satan. In his pre-incarnate state of us, that's him. God made him an archangel, and he was to channel worship to God from the other angels. And he became filled with pride. Look at me. I should be God instead. And he led a rebellion in heaven, and the Bible tells us that a third of the angels, I don't know what number there is, unlimited number, beyond our ability to comprehend, he led a third of them against God. Now, if he's not totally smart, okay? Now, I know that's going to get me in trouble, but you see, if God created him, he could not destroy his creator. He didn't have the power. He didn't think about that. God created him and made him, and God still had power over him. And when he led a third of the angels against God, God and the rest of the angels, the archangels, kicked him out of heaven. And they landed on the earth. And he has created war against the people of God and against God ever since. You see, he cannot defeat God. He cannot cause God to have problems. The only way he can get to the heart of God is you and me. We are loved by God. We are brought into the family of God. We are cherished by God. We are indwelt by God. God cares for us. No greater love is ever expressed than the love of God toward us. Greater than our love expressed toward our children. Greater than our love expressed toward our spouse. Greater than our love expressed toward our friends. God's love is greater. You and I cannot know the height, the depth, or the width of that love. And I stepped around the mic, brother, and I just realized I didn't turn it on. We cannot get away from that love. And the only way he hurts God is coming against you and I. Now, there are times, like in Job, when he comes before God and he's accuser of the brethren, and he wants to take your name before God or somebody's name before God and say, you know, look at that person. Look at old Nanny. Hey, did you know he has a temper? Did you know he explodes like a volcano sometimes? Did you know he opens his mouth and words come out and you can't get back? Hey, did you know he might go fishing instead of praying?
God said, know all about him, but his heart's right. He loves me. Satan says, strip him. Work on him. Let me at him. And the only way he can get at me is with God lets him. I know that. He beat Job up. I mean, he absolutely beat Job up. Stripped his family. Took everything he had, his livestock, his livelihood, left him full of boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his foot. I heard about a person yesterday that has that. It's a disease of some kind they got. And they got boils all over their body. Ah! That's rough, huh? Job had them. He had three friends. Quotation mark friends. And his spouse finally says, well, just curse God and die and get this thing over with. Where'd the helpmate in that come from, Bill? Don't know, do you? He needed her to come along and say, oh, keep praying, keep being faithful. And she went the other way. And there's Job. And he finally says, you know, if I could just get face to face with God, I'd get this thing over with. And then when God showed up, Job said, I wish I'd kept my mouth shut. The enemy's real. I don't want you to be afraid of him. There's nothing about him that you should be afraid of unless you brag on him. I was pastoring a church one time that was going through all kinds of problems. I knew there was problems when I went there. That's why God took me there. And I dealt with it, and finally I said, oh, devil, you just come on. I'm going to whip you every which way but loose. Stupidest thing I ever said. One of the stupidest things. I've said more. And God said, oh, you think you can, huh? Have at it. Oh. My wife said, if you ever do that again, and she gave me one of these, I knew what that meant. I'm a dead duck. Affected me, affected the family. We come out of it. But I never say anything like that again. Next time I say, God, you go take care of it. I can't. Listen, he is real and he is powerful. If you think that he doesn't have power over you and influence, he led a third of the angels out of heaven who knew no sin. If he can influence them to follow him, he can influence you to follow him. That's why the Bible says, test the spirits and see if they're really from God. Not every evangelist, not every preacher, not every person that's a teacher is necessarily from God. Now listen, you've got to be very careful. Because if you follow the wrong one, your life may get destroyed physically here. You may lose your influence. You may lose your possessions. You may lose it. Satan knows how to work. He's intelligent, but not super intelligent. God is. Jesus is. You remember how Jesus dealt with him? Face to face, one on one. Turn, if you do get a chance, turn to Matthew 4 and read that. I'm telling you, he whooped him every which way but loose. And all he used was scripture. All he used was the word of God that he himself had given to the children of Israel through Moses. Satan left. Finally, he said to Jesus, now if you just fall down and worship me, God, I'll give you everything you want. That's what he wanted all along, God, to worship him. And it's powerful. I mean, he's the prince and power of the air, according to Daniel chapter 10. He controls nations. He controls leaders. Iran, Iraq, Japan, Germany, France, Italy, United States. If you don't think we got some she-devils and he-devils in Congress, you're badly dreaming. I'm not naming no names. I'm just telling you they're there. Because he sees to it that they're there. So he can influence us away from God instead of to God. Now listen. He said to Jesus, worship me. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Thou shalt worship God and God alone. Come from Deuteronomy. There's only one God to worship, and that's God Almighty, Yahweh God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the triune God, no other. And he left him for a season. Then he tried to get to him through Peter. Finally got to him through Judas Iscariot. He never quit. But he will one day. He'll quit. The early church is just, man, they're slamming, bam, 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 and people getting saved everywhere. And then they have this situation with Ananias and Sapphira. Well, that didn't work. So he tries to divide the church with the Hellenistic Jews and the Jewish Jews and the widows. That didn't work either. He tried to kill the Apostle Paul time and time again. Never worked until the right time when his head was taken off. But he had completed 13 epistles. He had planted churches all over Asia Minor. He'd done what God called him to do. And the whole thing of that is, when Ananias went to help him get his eyesight back, God told Ananias, you got to tell him everything he's going to suffer for me. I mean, would you like to know up front all the suffering you're going to go through in this life before you start? No, I don't want to know it all. A little might be nice, but not all of it. You know, Paul knew. And he put his foot down one after the other, tracing across that country for Jesus. Now it says here, Satan doesn't do it all on his own. In our passage of Scripture, there is a compliment made about his assistance. It says here, verse 12, now you and I don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Now it may look like that we have somebody that's a human opposing us, but it's not. It may look like that the pastor and deacons are at one another, but they're really not. It may look like the music director and I want to strangle one another, but we're not. The devil's involved. And he's stirring up our hearts to oppose one another. Now, he does that in families between husbands and wives, but that's a different sermon. But he knows how to do it, and he's good at it. He says here in this verse, we fight against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He didn't say in low places, he said high places. That means government. That means leadership positions. He knows how to do it. You see, these fallen angels are demons. And Satan is a fallen angel that has limited location. He can only be in one place at a time. So he can't bother me at 11 o'clock and Ron be on a job in Wablo or Hermitage or Preston
and bother him at the same time. Can't do it. Because he's limited. Now, I don't think I've ever been important enough for him to do it himself. He always sends someone to work on me. One of his little slaves. And he can send a slave to mess with me. And he can send a slave to mess with Ron at the same time. And he can say, you know what that Ron's thinking? And to Ron, they can say, you know what that Danny's thinking? He can do that to a congregation. Now, you won't know or see or feel because he messes with your mind. He plays mind games. That's what he did with Adam and Eve. He played a mind game. Well, look at that. Look how good that is. Man, wouldn't that be juicy and sweet? Just perfectly ripe. Right there on the tree. Get a hold of it. Take a big bite of it. When you do, you're going to be like God. You're going to know the difference between right and wrong. Well, that's true. The rest of what he said wasn't. They didn't know everything about right and wrong. They didn't know the consequences of right and wrong. They soon found out when God booted them out of the garden and made skins to cover their naked bodies. They soon found out. Listen, these are real. They are absolutely real. The Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter used their authority and power as apostles and freed individuals from demonic possession. I have seen individuals under the influence that wasn't their correct personality or their correct mindset, and I've seen them set free. The seances that take place in our country, probably in our very community here, are not spiritual in the sense of being from God. They are spiritual in the sense of being demonic. Because they don't worship God, they worship the devil. And they are powerful. Very powerful. Listen, there is a real enemy. And how do you and I address that enemy is the provision God's made. But in closing, I want to just say the last part. In verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. You and I are to pray, 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 pray. Our victory, our power, our work is with God through prayer. And not only are we to pray for ourselves, but he said supplication to God for the saints. I'm to pray for one another. I'm to pray for Karen. I'm to pray for Melba. I'm to pray for Gary. I'm to pray for you guys. That's my role as pastor. You know what your role as a saint is? To pray for the guys of the church too. Men and women. Pray for the one sitting beside you. Pray for the one in back of you. The one in front of you. Take the list and go down it. And pray for them. Because the enemy wants to bring shame to them and shame to God.
But he can't do it if the people of God put on the armor God said to put on and then pray. You got to pray. You got to pray. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for your power, your presence. Lord, I've been in and out and up and down and all around in this stuff. Time and time again, you've given me the victory. And I thank you for it. Again, help this congregation understand how to pray and work through this time. In Jesus' name. Amen.